So as we continue on in our series about how we are to live the life in the kingdom of God, Jesus shares in Matthew chapter 5, 6, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled." He says that if we want to be blessed, if we want to be truly happy, we need to be hungry and thirsty for righteousness as we live out our lives in the kingdom of God here on earth. And there's probably few things in this world which motivate and drive a person as much as hunger and thirst will do. A person who's really hungry and thirsty will do almost anything to get some food or something to drink. I don't know if you've been listening to the news lately, but there's a situation happening in Venezuela. There is a great need in that country for food and water, and yet the president has blocked all humanitarian aid to Venezuela. In fact, I think it was last night, they were bringing a whole truck in, and a truck managed to get through, and they set it on fire, all this humanitarian aid. But over the past weeks, over 3 million people have left Venezuela. They have walked miles because the president has shut down the borders. So they've walked over land and over fields and country to get out, leaving their homes, leaving most of their belongings. Why? Because they're hungry and thirsting. They need food. I mean, they're not starving. They're not at a point of starvation, but it's coming to that because there is no food in the land hardly anymore. So they're leaving their land. They're leaving everything. You know, other people have become hungry and thirsty to a point of stealing from a grocery store, a loaf of bread or some buns or whatever. Or maybe even stealing from their neighbors because they're hungry and thirsty and they're not concerned about the cost. They're not concerned about the consequences. They're just hungering and thirsting. I don't think many of us have ever been really hungry or thirsty. Most of us have not gone weeks without food. Unless maybe we've been fasting. And likewise, we probably haven't gone many days without water or something to drink. I remember my uncle telling me one day that a man could only go 3 days without drinking, and I've proved that wrong, but at that time. But we can't go a long time without drinking. I know if you're like me, though, you would say, hold on, I've been hungry. I've been thirsty. I mean, I haven't gone days or weeks without water or food, but I've been hungry and thirsty. And I think each one of you would say, you've been hungry or thirsty at a time. But I think our hunger and our thirst, for the most part, is more like that which Winnie the Pooh experienced. He always seemed to have a little rumbly in his tumbly. He was always hungry, especially when he saw the honey pot. Then all of a sudden he became hungry. He wasn't hungry before he saw the honey pot, but when he saw it, he was hungry. You just have to ask Kathy and she will tell you how dramatic I am when I think dinner is a few minutes late. See, my thing is, I think dinner should be on the table at 5 o'clock. I think Kevin believes that too. He showed up at 5 o'clock for dinner and we didn't eat till 6 o'clock. But, you know, I think dinner should be on the table at 5 o'clock. So if it's 5:02, if the news has started, then dinner's late. And I'm starving. And my stomach feels like my throat's cut. And I'm not going to eat. I'm going to die. I can be pretty dramatic. But I'm not really starving. And I'm probably not even really hungry. And if I see a good dessert, I'm hungry. But that's not to say we don't get hungry or thirsty. We all get hungry or thirsty, but we don't get hungry and thirsty to the point of starvation. Lloyd-Jones, a writer, wrote this: to hunger and thirst really means to be desperate, to be starving, to feel life as ebbing out, to realize my urgent need for help. And this is what he believes in, and what the idea of what Jesus is getting at here when he wrote, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst." Jesus is saying that those who are truly happy are those who are desperate and starving for righteousness, those who will continue to seek righteousness until they are completely satisfied. Those who are happy are those who have a yearning, a craving, and a desperate desire for righteousness, no matter what the cost or what the consequences would be. No matter what it means to give up or to do to acquire that righteousness. So the obvious question here is, what is the righteousness Jesus is talking about here? What is so important? What is so good about this righteousness that we need to be desperately yearning for it or craving it? Righteousness is a big word, which, just generally speaking, it means to be right in right relationship with God. And that's what Jesus is talking about here. He's talking about it in right relationship with God as our character, as our lifestyle. Is our character, is our lifestyle in right relationship with God? He is saying it needs, our lifestyle needs to line up to be that which lines up with justice, law, and mortality as God laid it out for us. And I can hear the wheels turning, and I can hear the inside voices in your head saying, hold it, hold it. We live in the age of grace. We don't live in the age of law. We're past the law. And that is true. We are saved by grace. It is not from anything that we have done or not done. And at the time we asked Jesus into our lives and to forgive our sins, making him Lord of our lives, at that very moment when we accepted him, that's when Jesus' righteousness was given to us. I mean, listen to Isaiah 61, verse 10. I am overwhelmed with joy in the Lord my God, for he has dressed me with the clothing of salvation and draped me in a robe of righteousness. I am like a bridegroom dressed for his wedding, or a bride with her jewels. When we give our lives to Jesus, God drapes us with his righteousness. In other words, he wraps his righteousness around us. He sees us pure and holy through the forgiveness received from Jesus' sacrifice. Then if we are righteous, the moment we accept Jesus, why is Jesus saying to us, Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness. Why is he saying we need to crave, we need to desire, we need to go after that righteousness? That's a good question. Anybody got an answer? No. As Christians, we hunger and thirst for righteousness because while we know we are forgiven and we've received God's righteousness when we accepted God on the basis of all that Christ has done and is, we also know that we are far from all that Christ wants us to be. Don't we struggle with that battle inside us of knowing that we are righteous by faith in God's sight? But on the other hand, knowing we don't live a completely upright life. Oh, I forgot, I'm talking to the choir here. Sorry. This was supposed to be just for me. Paul even struggled with that. Listen to what he said in Romans chapter 7, verse 15. I do not understand what I do. For what I want to do, I don't do. But what I hate, I do. Wow. Did you catch that? What I want to do, I do not do. But what I hate, I do. I have to admit, I find myself there from time to time. I don't want to get frustrated and upset with the other driver on the road. I hate doing that. I hate getting all worked up inside. But I find myself doing that from time to time. And I love to worship God all the time. But sometimes I find myself doing other things. Not that those other things are wrong. But there's always that tension. I'd love to witness and share with my neighbor all the time. But sometimes I jam out. That bugs me. For what I want to do, I do not do. But what I hate to do, I do. I don't understand what I do. Righteousness is more than observing the law, and far deeper than checking commandments off the list, right things to do. Yeah, I did this. Yeah, I did this. Oh, yeah, I'm pretty good. I've got her down pat. I've done these. I'm good. Righteousness is far more than that. The hunger and thirsting, the passionate pursuit of righteousness comes from a transformed heart, comes from a renewed mind. It's about keeping laws because it's not about keeping laws because we need to in order to remain right with God. It is a hungering and thirsting from the heart that is so thankful, so blessed of what Jesus has done for us that you just can't help doing it. I mean, I don't give of my finances to the church and to God because I can check off the box that says, yeah, I did it. I'm just so blessed. God pours out an abundance in my life and in the lives of his children, financially, spiritually, emotionally. It's all there for us to receive. You know, in my home, I don't have to make my bed. Cassidy's saying, I do. I don't have to make my bed. I don't have to help doing the dishes. I don't have to help with the laundry. But I do. I do these things because I'm so blessed to have Kathy as my wife. They're not from a heart of having to. They're from a heart of love and thankfulness and greatness. They're from a heart of, in a sense, hungering and thirsting to please Kathy. So if hungering and thirsting for righteousness is having a desperate desire, a yearning for the righteousness of God, what is it that we should do to strive toward that righteousness? Our righteousness comes from God because we know every good gift comes from God. Every good gift comes from God. So our righteousness, our goodness, can only come from Him. So if we hunger and thirst for righteousness, it only makes sense that if it comes from Him, the more we are in His presence, the more of that righteous life we will have to live in the kingdom of God here on earth. David wrote, "My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When can I go and meet with God?" Do you hear David's words there? His intense desire to know and to be with God, to be in His presence. One way to satisfy our thirst after God's presence and righteousness is through reading the Bible. If we are hungering and thirsting to live righteously in the kingdom of God here on earth, how will we know what is required if we don't read the Bible? If we don't hear? Oh, you can come to church on Sundays and I can share a little bit, or you can go to Bible study and you can get a little more. But it's when we read the Word of God, when we read the Bible, that we really grasp what God has for us. So listen to Psalm 119, verse 40. "How I long for your precepts. Preserve my life in your righteousness." The psalmist uses the word righteousness in referring to God's precepts, his law, his commands, 13 times in just Psalm 119. 13 times he talks about God's righteousness in connection with the Bible. It seems pretty clear that we need to read and study the Bible to know how to walk a righteous life. The writer states he longed for God's word. He longed for the Bible. In other words, we could say that he hungered and thirsted for it to reveal the righteousness for his life. As much as we hunger and thirst after righteousness, there are things out there which will try and destroy our hunger. In the parable of the sower and the seed, Jesus says in Mark chapter 4, verses 18 and 19, "The seed that fell along the thorns represents others who hear God's word. But all too quickly, the message is crowded out by worries of life, the lure of wealth, and the desire for other things. So no fruit is produced." And if you go to that same account of the sower and the seed in Luke, he replaces other things with life's pleasures. So Jesus is stating that we can get so caught up with worries and stresses of life that we push aside seeking God and His righteousness and His righteous life for our life. We push it aside. Also, the desires of wealth or life's pleasures can lure us away from hungering and thirsting after God. Now, don't get me wrong. There's nothing wrong with wealth. God has millionaires and billionaires in His kingdom. There's nothing wrong with wealth. There's nothing wrong with pleasures in life. What needs to come first, though, is God's righteousness. And everything else is filtered through that. Jesus said, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled." If we don't let the worries of life sidetrack us or get caught up with the wealth and other things, and if those things are pushed aside by hungering and thirsting for God's righteousness, then we will be blessed because God becomes first place. We are blessed because we are filled, Jesus states. What does it mean here to be filled or satisfied? As some in the Bible have translated it. It means we are filled with the righteousness, the righteous life that God desires for us. This is like sort of a three-stage process. First, as we said earlier, we're filled with God's righteousness when we come to know Him, when we accept Him into our lives and He's forgiven our sins. Then we're filled with His righteousness, His righteous life, as we live out our daily lives in the kingdom of God here on earth. This is evident and seen in our lifestyle, bringing glory to God. 1 Peter chapter 2 and 12 says, "Live such good lives among the pagans that, though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day He visits us." It's not really what people say about us. It's what they see in us. Is our righteous life shining forth? Is that what is center in our lives? When our lives are filled with God's righteousness, He will be glorified. And that's exactly what Jesus stated in Matthew 5:16. "In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven." Let your light shine. Let your righteousness shine. Let the goodness we are filled with be seen by those around us. Not so we can walk with a big chest or our head held really high, but more so God would be glorified and people would say, "Wow, that's an amazing God that those folks serve." And then ultimately, we are filled with His righteousness when we pass from this life and are in the physical presence of our Heavenly Father for all of eternity. That's when we're really filled. So the Greek word for filled is a verb. And it's an ongoing verb. It's an ongoing action. It's not something like, "Oh, well, I got filled. I'm satisfied. I've arrived." You know, when Kevin was over for dinner the other night, we ate and we were filled. But I'm sure the next day you went, oh, I feel a little hungry. Or I did. You didn't have as much pie as I did. that's what happens, right? In the same way, we need to continually hunger and thirst for God's righteousness. It's not something that we come to a point and be satisfied, but it is being continually filled or satisfied over and over again. It means that we need to constantly hunger and thirst for righteousness so we can continually be satisfied over and over again. So God's life, God's righteousness inside us is revealed and shown by our lifestyle. So the question I want to leave with us is this. I want us to ponder this. Do those around us see a life that is hungering and thirsting for righteousness? Do they see the goodness in our life? Do they see God's love and God's glory in our life? Do they see somebody they would go, wow, they serve a mighty God, and I would be like to be like him or her? Do those around us see a life that is hungering and thirsting for righteousness? Let's pray. Father, we come to you. Our heart's desire is to hunger and thirst for your righteousness, so that you would be glorified. And Father, we know that as we do that, we are blessed. We receive so much from you. Lord, continue to stir our hearts. Continue, Holy Spirit, to prompt us of whether we are hungering and thirsting throughout our daily lives. We want to bring glory to you, God. In Jesus' name, amen.